Good morning. I'm not sure if it was my baby kicking me or my wife nudging me, but I figured it was time to get up here. I came up a little early. I'm sorry about that. If you'd take out your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, we're going to start reading there in just 1 minute. And before we read that, I just want to ask you one simple question. What will it take to be with Jesus? What will it take to enter into the joy of our Lord? What will it take for, on the judgment day, the Lord to look at me, and say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. What kind of person do I have to be for him to be willing to say that to me? How do I have to live so that that happens to me? Matthew 16, in verse 24, Jesus gives us a clue. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If anyone wants to come after me, if you want to come after me, what do I have to do? That come after me that Jesus says here, that phrase that he uses here, that's just not talking about regular discipleship. That's not talking about when he lived there on that earth. It's not just talking about following Jesus when he was a real person here on this earth. It's the language of eternity. We know in John 14, the night before Jesus died, in John 14, Jesus told us where he was going. He told us what he was doing. In John 14, in verse 1, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. That's where Jesus is. He's in heaven with God. But Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us he's sitting at the right hand of God. He's not talking about just following him here on this earth. He's talking about if we want to be where he is right now, sitting at the right hand of God in glory in heaven. And if I want to be where he is, he tells me what I must do. He tells me in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, I doubt the disciples understood the implication of this phrase. They probably didn't know when he said this in Matthew 16 that he was talking about eternity. But today, right now, we all know what he's talking about because we know where he is. And he tells you and he tells me that if I want to be with him, this is what I have to do. Deny himself. Take up his cross. And follow me. For a few minutes this morning, I'd like to talk to you about what those three things mean. About what the Lord is looking out of us. What I must do if I want to be with Jesus when my life is over. And the first thing he tells me, if I want to be where he is that I'm going to have to deny myself. To be with Jesus takes self-denial. You can't just follow him with any kind of attitude. You can't just follow him with any kind of worldview or any kind of lifestyle. If you want to be with Jesus, if you want to be where he is right now, you have to find the strength to deny yourself. I can't be with him if I can't do that. That phrase, deny yourself, is an interesting phrase. Usually when you think of the word deny, what do you think of? You think of someone, you know, saying, you can't come in here, right? You think about Joseph and Mary. They're going to the inn. Baby Jesus is about to be born. And the innkeeper said, no, you can't come in here. We don't have any room, okay? Access denied. Or you think about trying to get into somebody's phone or get into your phone and you type in the wrong password and it won't let you in. Access denied, right? That's what we think about when we think about being denied something. But the phrase that Jesus uses here is actually much stronger than that. It's much more special than that. It's richer. It means to declare that you have no association, you have no acquaintance with a person. It's to affirm that I have no connection with you. I have no invested interest in you. if you really want to understand what it means to deny yourself, you think about the fact that in Matthew chapter 26, this is the exact same phrase that's used when it talks about Peter denying Jesus. Think about that. That when Jesus was taken and when Peter was standing by that fire and those people were questioning him, saying, no, you are with Jesus, you're a Galilean, we know that you're with him, we know one of your disciples. Peter didn't just block Jesus' entry into something. No, he said, I don't even know the man. I have no connection to him. He is connected to me in no way whatsoever. I'm not invested in him. I'm not interested in him. I want nothing to do with him. That's what it means to deny. How funny is it that before Peter ever did that, in Matthew 26, in Matthew 16, Jesus told Peter, you're going to have to learn how to deny yourself if you want to be with me. But when Matthew 26 comes, Peter denies Jesus instead. If I'm going to be with Jesus, I'm going to have to learn how to deny myself. That means to be with Jesus. Jesus says, I must do to myself what Peter did to him that night that he was betrayed. Coming after Jesus takes self-denial. And that's more than a practice of self-control. And maybe you're wondering, because that's kind of a weird thing to think about. How do I deny myself? How does that work? What does that exactly mean? That means that I forfeit my interest in my own well-being. It means that I place instead my interest in the King of Kings and in His kingdom. It means that I cut all my ties to my worldly ambition and I establish new ties to Christ. If you really want to know what it means to deny yourself, it means that I must finally come to the realization that my life and my body and my breath is not about what I want. Life is not about what I want. And if I'm going to deny myself means to finally realize that life is not about what I want. We need to appreciate that because we live in a world full of idolatry, a world that has basically deified desire. You go out into the world and you find somebody who doesn't worship God. You find some atheist or some guy on the street and you ask him, what's the most important thing in life? What are they going to say? You know, it may vary between people. Somebody who's not spiritual, they're going to say, you make yourself happy. The highest aim in our culture, for those who are not religious, is to find what you want more than anything else. Find what makes you happy. Find what kind of fleshly desire you crave more than anything else. And you go chase it. And that's the best thing you can do. We have deified desire. And a culture where that is the highest aim is a culture that's not going to be with Jesus. Chesterton wrote, meaninglessness doesn't come from being weary of pain. Meaninglessness comes from being weary of pleasure. He must have read Ecclesiastes because that's exactly what King Solomon tells us when he had everything, when he had literally had everything a man could ever want. When he had all the means and he used those means to get exactly what he wanted, he took it all in and he said, what? It means nothing. It means nothing because life is not about what I want. Life is not about chasing fleshly desires. And those people who have chased them, and those people who do get to the end of the road, and they do get that fleshly desire, and they've done everything they can to get it, they realize it's empty because it's not what they wanted. That's not what life is about. Neither is life about making myself significant. Some people do that. Maybe they don't run around just trying to fulfill every single one of their fleshly desires. Maybe they think their aims are higher than that. And they say, what life is really about is me making a name for myself. It's me making sure that people remember me and I leave a lasting legacy here on this earth so people don't forget who I am. That's what life is about. You know, that's what they did at the Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 11. The Lord had told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And they said, we're not going to do that. We don't want to do that. You know what we're going to do instead is we're going to band together and we're going to create this city and we're going to build a tower that reaches into the heavens. And why did they do that? It says in the text, because they wanted to make a name for themselves. And sometimes that's what we do. more important than Jesus, more important than religion. We look at ourselves and we say, I just want to be significant in this world. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be that. To be where Jesus is, we must finally realize that life is not about what I want. That I'm not interested in me. I'm interested in Jesus. Coming after Jesus takes self-denial. But that's not the only thing it takes. It takes self-denial, but Jesus would tell us also this in Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. To come after Jesus will not just take self-denial. It's going to take some cross-carrying. To many, the cross is a symbol of pain and suffering. Who thinks about pain and suffering when they think about the cross? One person. Thank you. It's impossible to think of pain and to not think of pain and suffering when you think about the cross. I'll give you that. That's what I think about when I consider the Lord's death. And it certainly was seen that way by the Romans. You know, I've always thought that from a Roman's point of view, crucifixion was not really about execution. Crucifixion was about inflicting the most amount of pain during an execution. There are a lot of ways to kill somebody. Crucifixion was a painful way to do it. So it might be easy for us to think that when Jesus says, you're going to have to pick up your cross and follow me, he's talking about pain, he's talking about suffering, he's talking about torment. But I don't think to Jesus the cross is a symbol of pain. At least I don't think that's how he uses it in Matthew 16. I think the cross is a symbol of sacrifice. And you may say, I'm sure it hurts to be sacrificed. And you'd be right about that. But don't miss the big point. Jesus is saying that if we want to be where he is, we are going to have to sacrifice ourselves. We're going to have to give up what's good for me. And if you think about it, my walk with Christ begins with that kind of an understanding. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. From the very beginning of my walk with Christ, I can see that what I'm doing, what I'm undertaking, the journey I'm starting on is a journey of sacrificing myself, is a journey of giving myself up for something else. Romans 6, starting in verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. When I go into those waters of baptism, when I am baptized with faith in the working of God, that he's going to wash my sins away, what I did is I made a covenant with God. And I said, I'm going to leave that old life where I chased my desires and I did exactly what I wanted to do, and I'm going to do a new life, which is what? A life that puts all that stuff away. My Bible closed on me. You're going to have to forgive me. Romans 6. Look in verse 10 and 11 of Romans 6. He tells us exactly what that new life is supposed to look like. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. What an idea that is. My body is an instrument of righteousness. I've now been freed from sin because I crucify the old self. Yet now the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. As Paul would write in Galatians 2:20, I pick up my cross after I'm baptized. I die to myself. And that starts in the waters of baptism. And then that reaches out and that grabs hold of every single piece of my life so that everywhere I turn and everywhere I walk and everything I do, my thoughts are not what I want. My thoughts are not what's good for me. My thoughts are what's good for Jesus and what does he want me to do? If I can't do that, I can't be with Jesus. I need to learn to pick up my cross, to be ready to sacrifice my own desires, to be willing to sacrifice my own life. Yes, to be willing to suffer, to do what Christ wants, to fulfill his purposes. I remember playing baseball in Orlando, Florida when I was 10 or 11 years old. And I remember very vividly that our baseball team that year was the best baseball team in the league. And I'm sure that all of you guys played on the best baseball team too, right? Thank you. Another one. I like it. But I'm not joking about that. We really had the best talent and we really had the best team. And everybody knew it. And that was mainly because I didn't play very much and my brother played. And he was, you know, he was a ball player. He could hit home runs, and he could pitch really well, and he was the best player on the team. And I remember very vividly, everybody knew that. We played in Little League. And the lady who constructed the schedule for our games, she coached the second best team in the league. And guess what day of the week our team always played her team who made the schedule? Wednesday night. You know why? Because she knew Todd Banning wouldn't be on the field that night and her team would be able to win. And I remember coming in second place to that team because our best player was at worship services and my parents weren't going to miss worship services for a baseball game. And they took advantage of us and we lost. And as we came in second place and as we lost those games, it stung and it hurt and it made me mad. But you know what? My parents taught me something so important. They showed me and my brother something when we did that. They showed me that the life of a Christian is a life of sacrifice. The life of a Christian is not a life where I go out and do what's good for me. It's where I give up what's good for me if that's what it requires to make Christ happy. Coming after Jesus requires the death, sometimes, of what I want. Sometimes I want to be lazy on a Sunday afternoon. I want to watch the football game and I don't want to come back to services. And I'm sure there are plenty of people who have a really good reason not to be here on Sunday night. They got, you know, they're in the ER or they got a work thing or something like that. Plenty of people have a great reason not to come back on Sunday night, but other people just don't want to do it. And when that moment comes, we need to learn to pick up our cross. Sacrifice what I want so that I can do what Christ wants. Sometimes people ignore their families. You know, a husband comes home and he's had a long day at work and he just says, you know what, I don't want to deal with any of this. And turns on the TV and disconnects from the family and doesn't really spend time with his family that night. Doesn't give his family the attention that they need. Doesn't accomplish the tasks that need to be accomplished. You ever felt like that? You ever wanted to neglect your family in some way? That's a time when we have to carry our cross. And to give up what I want so that I can do what Christ wants. That's true when it comes to our Bible reading and our praying and our singing praise to God. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to do that. Sometimes I don't want to read my Bible. Sometimes I don't want to pray. Sometimes I don't want to sing. Sometimes I just don't want to do those things. And in those moments, I have to think to myself, my life now, the covenant I made with God, the basis upon which he removed my sins from my soul, was that I wasn't going to do any longer the things that I wanted to do. He said, I'll take your sins away if you agree to do what I want you to do from now on. That's my life. I've got to pick up my cross. That's true when we're angry at brothers or sisters in Christ, when they've hurt us or offended us in some way. And what we really want to do is we just want to cut them off. We just don't want to do, we don't want anything to do with them. We don't want to hear them. We don't want to talk with them. We don't want to see them. We have a lady who you know, I knew a while back. She got into an argument with another lady that I worshiped with. And the whole thing, the sad thing was, it was just a misunderstanding. It was just a disagreement. But this lady had so set herself against her previous friend, she wouldn't even listen to what she had to say. She turned aside from her every single time she came down the hallway. And eventually, she just stopped worshiping with us because she didn't want to see that other lady. Every time I see her, because I run into her from time to time, it's just so sad. Because what she wants to do is she wants to just cut him off. But what does Christ want her to do? To make it right. Sometimes following Christ requires the death of what I want, the death of what is easy, the death of my desires, so that I can do what he wants me to do. If I can't do that, I can't be with Jesus. And you may be wondering to yourself, isn't Jesus repeating himself in Matthew 16? Isn't he repeating himself? Because he said in Matthew 16 and verse 24, you got to deny yourself. And we already talked about how that means I need to realize that life isn't about me. And then he says, pick up your cross, which means I've got to make some sacrifices for Jesus. And you say, isn't that kind of repeating yourself? Aren't those, you know, basically the same thing? And the simple answer to that is no. Because you and I both know a whole slew of people who realize life is not about them. But they still aren't willing to pick up the crosses that Jesus asked them to pick up. Sometimes we neglect carrying our cross. We see people who very clearly realize that life is not about them. Life is about Jesus. Life is about God. Life is about the Holy Spirit. But at the end of the day, if you actually look at their lives, and if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we'll look at our own lives. And we'll see, at the end of the day, I may say that this life is not about me, but I haven't sacrificed a single drop of my own desire for Christ. For so many people, the only reason they don't fulfill every single fleshly desire they have is a lack of money or opportunity or time, not because they would actually take it and lay it on an altar and kill it for the sin that it is to make Christ happy. Matthew 7 and 21, in Jesus' hallmark sermon, he mentions that kind of an attitude, that kind of a life. Matthew 7 and verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everybody who realizes that Jesus is God is going to go to heaven. Not everybody who realizes that God's more important than me is going to go to heaven. Not everybody who comes to worship is going to go to heaven, is going to be with Jesus. But those who are willing to deny themselves realize life isn't about them and are actually willing to start picking up crosses. Who are willing to actually start doing things that aren't easy in order to make Jesus happy. Those people can be with Jesus when their lives are over. Deny yourself, pick up your cross. And there's one more thing that he says in Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 24. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I believe in this phrase, there are a lot of things we could say, there are a lot of points that we could make, but I believe in this phrase, there's a great message about consistency. If you look in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus is saying basically the same exact thing, except he adds a word in there. He adds the word daily. Follow Jesus daily. And you may be wondering, you know, Matthew 16, 24, it doesn't say the word daily. And then Luke 9, 23, it adds the word daily. And so you may be wondering, you know, who got it right or wrong if they're quoting the same Jesus in the same instance. Who got it right or wrong? Because Luke says daily and Matthew doesn't say daily. So is there a biblical contradiction there? And the truth is, no. I think these are two different instances because this is something that Jesus said all the time. This was something that Jesus preached over and over and over again. And if we look in Luke 29 and verse 23, the passage tells us that he was saying to them. He was saying to them. That means he said it over and over and over again. The message that if a man wishes to deny himself, pick up his cross and follow him, he can be with Jesus. And he preached that message over and over and over again. Because that's something that we need to do over and over and over again. We must make those decisions daily and continuously. We must always realize every day when we wake up that life is not about me. And we must every single day pick up those crosses that need picking up. We must keep doing it. You know, the only way to follow somebody is to keep following them. If you were going to follow me to my house for whatever reason, see my dog or let me make you some coffee, I don't know. If you were following me to my house, we would get in the parking lot over here and you'd pull up behind me and then we'd head on down the road and we'd turn left onto 105 and then we'd take a right on Major and we'd go. And what would you call it if when we were about to get to I-10, you turned around and came back home? Would you call that following? I wouldn't. Then if we get on I-10 and we start heading into Houston and we get all the way to Beltway 8 where we're going to take a south and you decide, no, I'm going to go north. I'm going to go to Jonathan's grandmother's house instead, which would probably be better for you. Would you call that following? I wouldn't. The only way to follow somebody is to keep following them. And if you follow them up to a point, if you follow them for a time and then stop, you can't say that you followed. If we want to be with Jesus, it takes consistency. It takes denying yourself, picking up your cross, and doing that every single day. That's what it takes to be with Jesus, a lifelong commitment to self-denial and cross-carrying. Later in that same chapter, in Luke chapter 9, if you'll turn there, Luke chapter 9, in that same chapter, Jesus speaks to those who lack consistency. Luke 9, start reading with me in verse 59. Luke 9 and verse 59, and he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one who stops following can be with Jesus. And brothers and sisters, we've set our hands to the plow. We have started to follow. And we must realize that the kingdom of heaven is not made up of people who started to follow. It's made up of those who continue to follow. The kingdom is made of those who start strong and finish strong. And it's very possible, because I've seen it in my own life, that sitting here in this audience today, we have some who made a commitment to Jesus at one point, and were committed to following him, and were picking up crosses big time. Whatever Jesus wanted them to pick up, they'd pick it up, and they'd do it, and they'd make him happy, and they knew life wasn't about them. But after a time, after a season, you sloughed off. And once again, you can look at your life and you realize that I'm not where I should be. That I've kind of forgotten that life isn't about me. And maybe that while there was a time in my life where I'd pick up every single cross Jesus asked me to pick up, And while there are still some little crosses that I pick up that aren't really that big of a deal, there are some big crosses that I won't touch because I've stopped following him. Maybe there's someone in this audience today who realizes there's a cross they need to pick up, or they need to reevaluate the way they look at their own lives. And to those people, Jesus says, follow me. Never stop. Keep following. That's what it takes to be with Jesus. And really, when we look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, what Jesus is really telling all of us is that if we want to be where he is, we must lose our lives in Jesus. I must lose my life in Jesus. I must let him take control of everything. I must let him dictate all the terms with no exceptions. In Acts 17, Paul said, in him we live, move, and have our very being. And what Jesus is telling me in Matthew chapter 16 is that if I want to be with him, I've got to give all that back to him. Give him your life. Give him your every movement. Give him your very being. And the promise is that if I'm willing to do that, if I'm willing to give it all away for Jesus, I get my life back in eternity. Matthew 16 and verse 25, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What's that going to profit? If I do everything for myself and I make this life perfect for me, what's that going to do in the end? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Are you doing in your life what it takes to be with Jesus? Have you denied yourself? Are you picking up crosses for him? And is that a consistent thing in your life? Not just some days I'm good and some days I'm bad, but I do it continuously, all the time. If I can't do that, I can't be with Jesus. But if I'm willing to, he tells me I can be with him in eternity. I can gain my soul in the end. And that's a wonderful thing. If we can help you be with Jesus in any way, we're here to help and encourage. And if you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we learned that that's the first cross I carry. When I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, when I'm willing to confess that belief before men and repent of the sins I committed, when I'm willing to submit to that, I can submit in water and baptism with faith in the working of God and have those sins washed away. Start a new life that's not about me. That's about Jesus. If we can help you do that as well, we invite you to come to the front. We'll